Hey, Michael here. Hope you're having a blessed day. Listen, I'm excited to welcome you into a brand new series through the book of James and the New Testament of the Bible. You know, one of the things that I love about James is it really talks about controversy and challenges that come into our lives and how to work through them. I'm literally shooting this outside in my backyard, and as we're doing it, we got people mowing the lawn, we got trucks, we got all kind of other noises, but we wanted to do it here because I believe this is authentic to the reality that we have noise in life on a regular basis. Like whether you live in the mountains or you live in the city, we have challenges in our world. We got challenges through the media, through politics, through just the noise of the day and all of the things that we're experiencing. And sometimes we can left with the question of what should I do? Or when these things come into my life, what should I do? Challenges that I experience it. James is going to talk a lot about this, and I'm excited for you as you dial in. What I'm doing here is the first book of James, chapter one, we're actually going to split into two parts so that way it's easy for you to digest. I want to challenge you, as always, to get a physical Bible. Again, I'm reading through the New Living Translation version, and I want to challenge you to get a physical Bible, not just your phone, so you can join me along the way. But before we jump in, let's have a word of prayer, and let's go. Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to share wisdom and truth from your word to those that are hearing it. I pray that they would shut other noises off in their life and take time to really dial in and be focused on what your word has to say for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's jump in here. James chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. So here we are. It sets it up. It's James. He calls himself, which I think is interesting in this version, a slave of God. Now, obviously, in our culture and world today, we're saying, hey, slavery happened and, you know, racism, all these things that causes us to think of repression. And literally, James is opening up this letter as though he is a slave of God. What he understands is that when he operates and lives in a way where he is doing the will of God, he is literally operating in a place that he wants to be, because he understands that God is his creator, that God has a plan for his life, that God has plans to prosper and prepare him for what he's called him to do and not harm him, which is what the Bible tells us. All right, verse 2, it says this, "Dear brothers and sisters," now this is when it gets into it, and I have this highlighted. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, isn't that interesting? James says, when troubles of any kind, it doesn't say, hey, if troubles of this and this and this type of trouble come your way, it's okay, but this is not good. No. He says, if troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, what's interesting is when we look at our culture today, we typically live in a world that, quite honestly, most folks out there try and avoid troubles, avoid challenges. And yet James is telling us here, listen, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. No one looks at life that way except for God's word. Here's what he says. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Now, I've highlighted that, the second half of verse 2 all the way to verse 4 is what I just read there. And the reason that I think that's so important is because he's telling us that when we go through these challenges in life, when challenges come our way, when adversity comes our way, when we interact with people that we don't agree with and they're frustrated at us, or maybe in business when we have accusations or things that we go through that are unfair and unjust, it gives us an opportunity, if we embrace it, to actually grow our endurance. And that's not easy. That's tough, especially when we walk through life with all of the things of the world on our mind, with our phones and scrolling and social media and media and all of the noise of the day. We can be in a place where we can be kind of on edge, and it's almost like that little marble that broke the big piece of thick glass, because there's all of this other weight that's been on it throughout the day. So I think part of our job in life is to try and get rid of weight daily, get rid of the noise, find silence, find clarity. And then what happens is as these challenges come into our life, we're able to handle them and we can look at them for what they are. We can look at them for how they're going to affect us. And then we grow through them. I know I've certainly had opportunities in business where things have been said about me and about us and my firm that were untrue, quite honestly. And it was someone operating in a spirit of fear themselves. And I love what Zig calls when he talks about fear. He calls it false evidence appearing real. And so what happens sometimes is we can get ourselves in a place where we're hearing information from other people or other thoughts that may not necessarily have full context. And then we take what they've said and believe it and worry about it and get concerned about it without actually getting to the root of the reality. So when those types of things come your way, somebody throws accusations your way, somebody says something about you, you fall into a situation, you end up on the road and you get in an accident, something happens that's outside of your control, may I challenge you to look at it through the lens of what James says, and that is, it gives you the opportunity to grow. It gives you the opportunity to increase your endurance in life. And then, as it says in verse 4, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, in this journey, our reliance on God starts to grow as well, because we realize there's things that happen in this life and in this world that are out of our control. And we need God to help us on this journey. It's so important. Verse 5 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Now, Proverbs talked a lot, if you've watched that series, about the idea of wisdom and the importance of wisdom in our life. So go check that out if you haven't watched it. But this is so important. Now, it says as verse 6 continues, and I have this highlighted in my Bible, it says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Listen to this, verse 7, it says this, such people, in other words, these people that are wavering, they're not sure, well, maybe, I'm not sure, you know, that kind of thing, wavering people. It says, verse 7, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because their loyalty is divided, verse 8, between God and the world. They are unstable in everything that they do. Now, if you're in a situation where you understand what it means to be a Christian, which is acknowledging that you are a sinner, acknowledging that there is no way to heaven without the forgiveness of sin, if acknowledging the reality that God sent his son in the bodily form of Jesus Christ to die for you and me, and as we accept through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Not of works, it's not about how good I am or all the good works that I do, not of works so that no one can boast. So that way I'm not showing up someday to heaven and saying, hey, look what I did, right? So when we understand that in this life, as we operate as a Christian, what we have to do if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, our goal and journey of growth is to continue to learn to rely on the Lord. And that's why James is saying here that such a person, their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. Now, all you have to do is take a look at the world. Take a look at the trends on social media. Take a look at the things and conversations that are being talked about. They shift and change and move all day long. Listen, I'm in the financial space, and I got to tell you, if you listen to the commentary, one of the things that you'll see is that one day they say the market's up. The next day they say the market's going to be down. And it's moving here and there and everywhere all the time. So when you take a look at what happens, we want to be in a place where we say, okay, when we trust in God, when we believe in God, when we believe that he is the creator of all, he's over all, he's greater than all, he has the ability to give us the wisdom that we need to walk through this life that we're in. Now what happens is our loyalty is not divided. It's focused. Therefore, God says, this is someone who is intently seeking me, I want to guide and dial into their life. That's what happens. All right, let's jump on to verse 9. It says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. Isn't that interesting? We don't look at that in our culture today. In our culture, a lot of times, we exalt wealth. Hey, did you see this guy's boat? Yeah, but did you see Jeff Bezos' new yacht or this new yacht or Mark Zuckerberg's new yacht? That's what we focus on. Wow, that would be amazing if I could just have that. Here's a question for you. whether you have a lot of wealth or not, here's a question. In your life, even though it may have brought temporary joy, has getting more stuff, I can't even say it correctly, but has getting more stuff caused you to be in a place where you were more content long-term? You may have had short-term pleasure and excitement, but how long did it take for that new car, that new home, that new boat, that new plane, that new this, that new that to wear off, that new spouse to wear off? And then you settle right back into, gosh, is that all it is? Because God's created you for more than just stuff. And I love that. So it says here, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun, verse 11, the hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. You know, it made me think about when I was younger, I played baseball. And I was looking a little while ago at in our storage shed. We have a box now. We've kind of cleaned it out. But we have a box of a bunch of trophies. And when I looked at those trophies, they were from me playing baseball. You know, winning first place, second place, third place, maybe being VP of a game, MVP, that kind of a thing. And I looked at all of those trophies and I thought to myself, wow, does anyone really care? Now, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it is at the time that you're looking at your trophies as well, maybe years later, does anyone care? I looked at plaques that I used to have and still have in some degree of when I commentated on national media, CNBC and Fox and Bloomberg. I've had these still shots and had it on the wall years ago, and I've now since taken them off the wall because does it really matter that those trophies exist? And that's what it's talking about here is the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. So what you do on this earth is great, but we want to be focused intently on adding value to others. Now, hear me clearly. That doesn't mean that money is bad. Remember, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. I love to kind of say it this way. Materialism is not how much you have. It's how much has you. You could make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year and be consumed by material things. You could make $70 million a year and be consumed by material things. So you have to determine that money itself is just a tool. It's a library card. It gives you access. What is it and what is the meaning of it for you in your life? And more importantly, how are you going to use it as a tool to add value and bless others? That's really the question. Verse 12, God blesses those, listen to this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised. This is important right here, verse 13. It says, and remember when you are being tempted. Do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, verse 14, which entice us and drag us away. Verse 15 says this, these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. It's interesting. I hear people say sometimes, like, I don't know why God allows or causes or whatever all of these challenging things to happen in life, all of these bad things to happen in life. Maybe you found yourself in a situation where you've asked that question. I got to tell you, God is not the one causing these things to occur. But let me tell you what God has done. He's given you and I the ability to have what's called free will. Free will means that we, in a free basis, have the ability to either choose or reject God. It's your choice. It's my choice. We get to choose that. And so because he gave us that, he wants us to have the opportunity to see how good he is, not because of people, but because of him. How good he is, accept him, and then as we grow in him, we walk in ways that give us peace in life, and we're on the path of our purpose. But we can also choose to reject him. And when we choose to reject God, we choose to willingly accept sin in our lives. And sin, when it is fully grown, leads to death and challenges and chaos and murder and rape and all of the things that we see in our world today. That comes from man's choice, men and women's choice, to have free will. God is not making people do those things. That's our own free will. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God has chosen to redeem us. And that's why it's important of how we look at these things when we look at things in life. Verse 16 says, "So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession." I'm going to pause it here and finish James part 2, starting with verse 19 in the next video. But I want to challenge you to slow down and maybe even revisit this. There's a lot in here that's really applicable to our lives. And I want to challenge you, if you have thought about this, maybe you did this in Proverbs, but get a group together. We all need accountability. Get someone, a team, people together. Text some of your friends. Say, "Hey, would you mind going through this with me?" Even if you're not in the same room. And then it gives you guys something to talk about throughout the days and the weeks of how am I doing in my life? Am I in a situation where when challenges come in my life, I get strung out and stressed out quickly? Or do I realize that it's something that's going to help me grow? Just like if you go to the gym, the only way to develop and grow is to literally break your muscles down by putting more weight on it, and then they're able to develop and grow stronger. Similarly, that's what happens with us in life. So take time, press pause, revisit, take notes, and contemplate and meditate on some of the things that we discussed here. Listen, I hope you have a blessed one. We'll see you next time in the second half of James, chapter 1. Talk soon.